never know where it's heading. The Scenic Drive with Rion on Jacaranda FM.
So with us, Sister Ruth Lopesha, nurse, sex educator, childhood, adolescent sexuality consultant. Nice to meet you, Ruth.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Nice to have you here. And Dr. Eli Rosen, also sex educator, healthcare activist, and gender and sexuality consultant. Hello, Dr. Eli.
Hi, Rian.
Now, ladies, big hullabaloo. That's not such a nice word. Hullabaloo a while back about when we should be teaching kids. We threw it out to our listeners, and we received 900 different answers. So I'm going to start with you, Ruth.
That's a lot.
Where do we start? What age?
Well, we are sexual beings from womb to tomb. And so ideally, you want to start helping your child right from potty training age to know that I have eyes, ears, nose, and the genital parts. You want to get, they have names and functions. We leave that out. And so if you start the conversations young, it gets easier. At toddler then age, they are able to know good touch, bad touch, come to mommy, what's private, what's public. And then we move into the puberty phase, which the lady mentioned, that periods are starting earlier. So we want to prepare them for what the changes are going to be. So, and that's around about grade 7 where we do schools. And then Dr. Eli is our chief facilitator of schools.
So I just want to jump in here. What I hate is the ridiculous names people give genitals.
Yes. And a lot of them say a boy has a penis. They forget about the testicles. But they can say Dinosaurus Rex, you know. And they say a woman has a vagina, which in fact is
flower.
The tube. If they're using the word vagina, when in fact the outside is the vulva. So those are the words. But in your home, sometimes we don't always use scientific language at home. So, but they need to be able to know them. So if something happens, they can come to their parent.
And say what happened to them. Now, Dr. Eli, just I'm looking at the schools that have taken up sex ed. And it's odd to me how few actually still do it. Someone said earlier, my son came home. His teachers just, they sort of shy away from it. But it's actually not their job. It's someone needs to come to the school and teach them.
Well, also, I think just like within families, quite often parents haven't been given sex ed themselves, don't have the language for it, and perhaps are a bit scared of actually navigating these conversations. Teachers, specifically life orientation teachers, who have now been given this task of doing sex ed as part of their curriculum, have never been given any extra training. And they come from the exact same backgrounds, the cultural backgrounds, the backgrounds of taboo and silence. Yeah. So how do we actually navigate making sure that sex ed happens in schools with the skills that are needed in order to be able to give the subject justice, but also understanding that every human being has a different way of navigating this topic based on their own background and history.
My issue is it's 2019. It's a dangerous damn world kids are living in. And if they don't know what's happening to them or what the parts are for, it's easier for them to become victims. Do you agree, Ruth?
Absolutely. Many adults think that education is going to make or sexualize the child more, when in fact information, and specific information, is actually protective. So that if a child is approached or seduced or groomed by somebody or an older peer comes to them, they can say, I know about this. This is what you're doing. Stop it. I'm going to tell somebody. Unfortunately, I've had children come to me who, after class, and saying, well, the driver who brings us to school makes me do this as maybe a sexual act or something, and doesn't realize that they are being sexually abused.
You know, we had, like, when I was at church, and I'm talking like 11, 12 years old, we had a pedophile that actually taught our Sunday school, was a genuine pedophile.
Yeah.
And I only know he was a pedophile now. Like, years later, I realized this man's a pedophile. But no one, because we were not made aware of what he was doing, and that it's wrong, we thought it's right. You know, can I tell you what he did?
Absolutely. And especially people in churches who have authority.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the child thinks this person is speaking the voice of God, and I don't dare say anything else. And that's not true. And I'm passionate about changes in the church.
So why are we still shying away? And I'm sure there's now a lot of people going, "Ooh, you can't be talking about this on the radio. It's dirty. We can't listen to it." Why are we still shying away from conversations about sex? Why are we, Eli? You tell me.
Mostly, I think, because we do live in a world where we've gotten so many contrasting messages about sex, and so few people are able to navigate the reality that sex is something that people want to do, but at the same time we've been told that you're only allowed to do it in some certain situations, but we know that people are having sex outside of those certain situations, and we're just bombarded with all these messages constantly. So now, how do we have a conversation that is open and honest about sex when our own attitudes towards sex, we've never had to interrogate ourselves?
Well said.
The Scenic Drive with Rion, exclusive to Jacaranda FM, weekdays 4 to 7 p.m.